from the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush. Welcome to the Writer's Serial Fiction Show. This is a companion podcast to the Reader's Serial Fiction Show.
If you haven't listened to today's story, we'd encourage you to pause and go listen to episode 3 of the companion podcast first. We can only play half the episode. So if you like what you hear, check out the full episode free on Vella. The link to the podcast and the Vella episode are in the show notes. So JP.
So Christine.
How has your week been?
It has been good. So I think I mentioned last time, if I remember correctly, that I may or may not have something super secret in the works.
Was you did. Going. A super secret co-author.
Mm-hmm. So we as in royal we, I guess. I'm more than one person today. I may be working with Jeff Elkins, who is also known as the Dialogue Doctor, and we are going to be working on a serial together. We've got the first 4 episodes drafted.
That's amazing. I think you guys will be excellent together, knowing both of your styles a little bit. I'm really excited for that partnership.
Yeah, it's been fun because I know that he is very like dialogue first focused, and that's something that I love working on. I always love trying new things. So we're doing first drafts with dialogue only and then coming back in. And so it's been a really fun exercise for me.
That's amazing. That's always something that I'm now saying that I want to try after hearing Jeff talk about that. So you have to let me know how that goes. So what type of work are you writing?
Oh, it's a fun one. How much do I want to say?
Genre?
No, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. No. So we are writing something that I guess would be attributed to urban fantasy, but it's more like a look at me trying to explain something. It's like a sitcom comedy with urban fantasy elements.
Wow, that sounds super fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys will come and talk about it on the show because I would love to hear more about it.
I'm thinking we probably will.
Yay.
So how has your week been?
It's been very good. Actually, I took about 3 days where I did very little writing related stuff and got outside, and you know, sunshine is apparently good for you. So I think that was good that I did that. It's weird because I always feel a little bit guilty when I'm not doing writing stuff, but I had 3 days of really not doing much of anything and it was refreshing. So now I'm ready to jump back in and get back to work. Novella serials are coming along nicely. I have a feeling we're going to get that launch announcement sooner rather than later. So
yeah,
just gearing up for that.
Yeah. And I don't know if you want to add this in, you can cut it out if you don't want it, but, you also got news back from Vella. I think we're 3 episodes in now and they finally told us how much we can actually share in our.
Yes. Yeah, so that was a long discussion of figuring out exactly how much of the serials we can share on air. So I got an answer for that. So that was a great win. So now we're ready for all these episodes to go live.
Woohoo. All right. Let's jump into things.
Yeah. So let's talk to our author.
So as a starting off point, we've looked at the scene using some of the basics from the three-story method. You don't need to be familiar with the three-story method for this podcast, but if you want to learn more about it, the link is in the show notes.
With us today is Lonnie Varnador. We'll be discussing his epic fantasy serial, The Guild Adventures of Morlaine.
Good friend Lon. Now, we are going to discuss your scene or your episode in terms of three-story method first, and then we'll kind of dive in a little bit more towards the writing aspect of it as a whole. So to start, I'm going to bring up Armature, which I know from previous discussions, you may or may not be the biggest fan of, but regardless, it was interesting because both Christine and I picked up different armatures. And I'm kind of curious on the direction that you think you may be taking or if you have something like this in mind. For me, it seemed a lot more geared towards vulnerability, and that vulnerability seemed to give him more strength. This was something I noticed when you had almost 3 points in this episode in which he was facing a conflict, and at every point he failed. Either his mother knocked him on his back, his tolls made his arm go numb, or he kind of like ended up getting knocked out at the end. And the only time that he actually got a benefit was when he physically showed some vulnerability and his sister fixed his arm. And I know, Christine, you had a different armature.
Actually, I think I was on board with what you were saying, but I was kind of seeing that in terms of the lie that he tells himself, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later. But I was kind of seeing externally the theme being, you know, you never give up, no matter how dire the situation. You never give up. If you persevere, you're going to bring your family back together. And I think that's maybe more of an external armature versus the internal armature, which I thought was about humility, and you had said vulnerability, which I think they're kind of related. So I think there's both. I think there's an external underdog, never get out, give up, you persevere. But I also think there's an internal component to the theme that is you have to humble yourself, or you have to be vulnerable to succeed, which I think is probably a lot in terms of his character arc, because where he's starting and I'm thinking where he's going are going to be very disparate. So is that something that you were thinking about, or how were you thinking about it when you were crafting the story?
I'm going to be dead honest. I understand armature and all of that stuff. It's just, I don't write any of that beforehand. I don't write any of it beforehand. I let the readers figure it out, because my feeling is I craft the story. You guys can figure out what it's about. So.
Yeah, and I totally think that's 100% fair. And that kind of leads to how both Christine and I picked it up. And more or less, it fits a lot in line with the sense of honor that you've kind of created this character to have, which it's great nonetheless.
So in terms of motivations, it seems pretty obvious that his motivation was to find his mother. So everything that he's doing, winning the sword fight, or his desire to win the sword fight to get into the guild, is leading to that bigger global motivation to find his mother. Is that kind of what you were thinking in terms of his motivation for him throughout the story as well?
For the most part, yes. I mean, there's another part of him that just, this is something that he's wanted. He just has wanted to be part of the guild. Because it's the really big, cool, epic thing. It's like, ooh, you know, you're part of the guild. You can do all kinds of other things. So, but it's much more like the big thing is to find his mother.
But also maybe some status or power or opportunities, right, as well.
Oh, very much so.
Very cool. So in terms of the lies he's telling himself, the one that I was seeing is that pride is necessary to overcome conflict and achieve victory. How did you see it when you were writing his lie?
Again, I'm being dead honest. Like, I've never done that. I always just write it out and go to the point of, okay, this feels right. Or, you know, at the same time, I've written things where I've written some stuff with him and it's like, he would not say that. That's not how it works. No. And so I'd have to scratch it out and put down notes or rewrite part of the scene or his words or something. So if that's how it comes across, awesome. But like, I don't have that written down. There is no like armature list. I haven't done that. So.
Yeah. And I think it's a good thing to kind of like have this conversation and show that not all authors are going to do this. And we know this. I think part of the pieces that you've alluded to is there's portions in which you write something and you know that he's not going to do this. So you have these something of similar aptitude where you've created this creator or this character And you know the rules around that character. And with your protagonist being Morlaine, we can see, you know, he wants to win this sword fight. Like, that's his ultimate goal of this episode. And ultimately, you know, we can sort of see that he wants this guild that he wants to join, and also finding his mother. And then through the actions that you portray him as, we can see that realistically he needs this humility. He needs to kind of be taken down a notch every once in a while. I don't know if that was something that was in your mind, but it was definitely something that really resonated with this need that he needed to show more vulnerability, because every time that he was kind of trying to own the situation and be a little bit more, or like punch up the scene a little bit more, he kind of fell flat.
So I have a question just about doing this afterwards. So I know this is serial fiction, so it's a little bit of a different format, but I know often writers will be like, you know, I didn't know what my theme was, or I didn't know a lot of this until a beta reader told me, or an editor told me that this is your theme. And then kind of go, oh yeah, because often it's subconscious, right? We're writing things that we're subconsciously working on, or part of our stories that we want to tell, and it's just not really conscious. So I wondered, not necessarily for serial fiction, but when you're writing long form fiction, if you have a beta reader, an editor say, oh, I realize that this is your theme, do you go back and make revisions that make that stronger? Is that something that you think about in revision, or you just kind of leave it as it is?
You know, I can tell you right now, like, they can tell me, oh, this is your theme. And I mean, I would almost feel if it ever truly happened to the point where, oh, this is the theme that you're going for, I would almost actively work against it. Because to me, theme is a four-letter word. I don't like writing to theme. I don't like the idea of, oh, your story has to have a theme. I'm writing a story. It's supposed to be entertaining. That's where I am. Like, if you find a theme, cool. It's all good. That's on you, not on me. I do understand that with my writing, even I have felt like there are themes that do run through it. Obviously, I'm not that dense, but or purposely like dense and, oh no, I don't write to theme. I do write to themes. It's just, I don't actively set up to, I'm going to write to it, because I feel that it becomes disingenuous. And even if the thing is, if someone were to say that, oh, well, this is your theme, it's like, okay, thank you. I might actually just put the piece down and not write for a bit, just because it's like, I don't want that in my brain when I'm writing it. So.
Very fair. When it comes to scene construction, do you kind of plan out the scenes that you're going to hit? Because when I'm reviewing this episode one, I almost came across like 5 scenes. So I was kind of interested on your take as to how you approach scene construction.
I did not have any thought on scene construction. I literally started to write something. I mean, let me put it this way. When I first started to write this serial, I had, okay, here's how it starts, and I wrote a little paragraph. And then I wrote episode 2. I wrote all down episode 2, and I wrote down episode 2 and 3, and I think the beginnings of 4. And I had the idea for like 4 through like 10. Then I went back, and I'm like, okay, well, I still need to write this first episode. So I started to write the first episode, and I had that little scene with his mother, and then to the arena, which was a bulk of the rest, which is like the majority, which is the rest. And I realized I actually had to cut it at a certain point. And I actually realized that after sending it to you guys to sort of look at, I realized that there is actually a paragraph at the end that I'm going to cut, because the cliffhanger is a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. Than where it is right now. So the thing is, it's more just, I will just start writing. And if I feel like there's a good stopping point for a scene, I'll stop there, basically.
Do you actively think about conflict when you're writing? Because as JP said, we saw at least 5 different conflicts happening in this this episode. So is that something that you're actively thinking about, is conflict or putting opposite forces against each other while you're writing?
Not at all. It's literally just, the thing is, also another thing I know just from, you know, from, as you know, as about manga and anime and just stories in general and other serial stories, is there are seeds you need to plant at the very beginning. So it's like, I need to plant as much of that as I can in that first episode. And the thing is yeah, there are still like subsequent episodes I can plant other things, but I wanted to plant as much as possible into that first episode.
That's excellent. So you're more of an intuitive storyteller and just kind of have by osmosis absorbed story structure, because it's interesting, because when we are analyzing this with three story method, it's hitting all the points, but you're doing it intuitively. So I just find that so interesting.
There was a scene that I really liked. I need to find it. Hold on a second. A transfer between two scenes that I really liked, that I just wanted to bring up for listeners, because you use the consequence of one scene to build into the following. One of the scenes that we recognized was the conflict was, he's confiding in Kane that he's being plagued by a dream, but he's too proud to ask for help. That's his kind of choice. Then his consequence would be that his sister overhears that he hates dealing with her. And that I found to be the conflict of the next scene, because then we bring Alice into the picture and she overhears that. She joins the scene. She shifts the change of the scene that it's in. And then the choice in this following scene was that Morlaine lies about being nervous and Alice doesn't believe him. And she says, "We're rooting for you." Whereas at the beginning of this scene, she had said, you know, she was going to wish luck on the other character. So it was almost like his lying about being nervous and her recognizing that he was nervous shifted her over to saying, you know, well, I do trust you and I do want to wish you luck. But I just wanted to bring that up as a use of a consequence as the next conflict.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting too. And I thought that another thing that's interesting to talk about is scenes versus beat level. So you can do this on scale. So you can do it very microscopically. So I almost felt like the part where he was talking about being plagued by the dream and not asking for help was a beat level scene, because it was so short. It was just a little beat between him and his friend Kane. Is it Kane? Okay. Yeah. I got it right. Yay. And it was short, but it was almost like a beat level scene that then the consequence of the beat level scene went into a full scene as the inciting incident or the conflict for that scene. So yeah, there was a lot of conflict that just drove this story forward. And I just really thought that it was well done. Whether you were thinking about it or not, it was very well done.
Thank you. I do try.
So there are different thoughts on episode length in serial fiction. And so a lot of people have been talking about 1,500 words being kind of the sweet spot, maybe a little bit shorter or a little bit longer. I'm wondering what you think about for epic fantasy, because epic fantasy readers are used to reading more words and longer works all at one time. I'm curious about what you're thinking about your episode length.
There was that thought of, I need to do like the maximum amount. I need to fill every single thing until is it 5,000 or 6,000?
I believe it's 5,000. I think it's 600 on the short end and 5,000 on the long end.
600 and short, 5,000 on the high end. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you need to, I need to do like 5,000 words for every single episode. And part of me was like, okay, that's one way, but do you really want to write 5,000 words for every single episode and have to find the exact cutoff just around that 4,500 mark? Or do you just want to go, look, you found a good place, let's stop and move to the next one? Because the thing is, it's more about the story and keeping the story moving, you know, for me at least. And so if I have, I mean, I might have longer episodes, I might have shorter episodes. It depends on a lot of different things. I might have, like, I want to try to keep myself to about where it was, which is a little over 2,000 words. I want to try to keep it to about that. So, I mean, that's, but I mean, if I get, if readers say, hey, you know, this is really short, you know, say these episodes are kind of short, what's going on? I might try and lengthen them. I might not. It depends on a lot of factors. And one of the other ones is just, do I want to continue to go back and rewrite and rewrite and rewrite a scene so that it fits 5,000 words and still has everything that I want in there?
Yeah. And I think probably the consistent release that you're needing with serial fiction would be a consideration as well. I think it would be very difficult to release 5,000 words consistently. Do you have a plan for how often you're going to release? Are you going to release daily, twice weekly, weekly, bi-weekly? Have you given any thought to your release schedule?
It really depends on the amount of backlog I can get. Right now, I'm working on like 10. I'm working on like 10 episodes. 10, or actually, no, 13 episodes, because the first three are free. So like 13 episodes. And even then, like the last episode is probably going to be sort of like season one cliffhanger type of thing. So like a big season one cliffhanger. And then I might actually take 2 weeks off just so I can write the next set. And then at the moment, I don't think I can physically do like a every day or like twice a week or something like that. I think my best mode might just be weekly. I might go bi-weekly, but if it's bi-weekly, I would try to do a longer episode type of thing. So it gives them more time to read, more stuff to read. So
yeah, I think that's a good plan.
Are there any tools that you are using to write that you would like to share?
Scrivener. Scrivener is I have discovered that Microsoft Word and Word Office and like Office and all of that, it's getting to the point where it's like I just don't want to use it because it's awful. And the thing is, most of my writing is now on an iPad. And the thing is like half the time the iPad doesn't work properly with the Bluetooth keyboard that I use. So I have to go to Scrivener, and it's like, might as well just use that. And the only thing I would do is I would go and try to format on Microsoft Word. The problem is that because I actually put this episode up onto Vella already, and I took the preview, and the thing is it's not anything like how I wanted it to be, and I was just like, oh, okay, well, never mind then. So basically, I feel like I can just take it from Scrivener, throw it into an editing ProWriter aid for editing. I know I need to probably go through and edit it one more time, but then throw it into ProWriter aid after it's done with that, throw it onto Amazon and just good luck, God bless.
So yeah, the preview in Kindle Vella is definitely interesting because reading it in that format, even when you're having short paragraphs, it looks like significant chunks of text. So how have you been breaking up your episodes so that they read well in that format?
Oh, I have zero idea. I literally the first episode was the only one that I put up. And so I'm just like, I was looking at it, and then that's when I'm like, okay, let's see how it's going to be in Kindle, in the Kindle Vella. What? Okay, this is going to be strange.
Yeah, because they're giving it like they're assuming people are reading on the phone, which I guess is what they're predicting the majority to be. So, and I write in short paragraphs, and I've had to go back and chop it up so paragraphs are only two or three sentences.
I might do that. It still feels weird for me when I just do like two or three sentences as a paragraph. That feels a little odd to me.
Especially in epic fantasy, I would imagine that it interrupts flow. So you're going to have to be creative. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's also like, who knows how people are going to take it at the moment. Like, this is all just speculation like we're speculating on everything right now. So it's more of just, this is an experiment. If it works, great. If it doesn't, eh.
I think that's a great attitude to have.
Yep. Agreed.
I had a question about editing. Other than the Pro Writing Aid, are you planning to use beta readers or any other kind of editing for a serial fiction?
I think with this, I might not, just because the turnaround would need to be so fast. And even the guy that I use, who's pretty cheap, it would be just every 2 weeks. It'd be like, I need to, you know, it's like, here's 10,000 words. I need 10,000 words done, 10,000 words done, 10,000 words done. So it's like, that's a little much. I just need to trust that my own editing skills, you know, sharpen up my own editing skills, as well as trust something like, you know, Pro Writing Aid as much as I can, even though it's telling me I have too much passive voice.
It's a lie.
Yeah. So I really don't think it'd be the cost alone would just destroy any type of like revenue I would possibly make from Vella. So I was like, what's the point?
Excellent.
Thank you, Lon.
Thank you for joining us.
More than welcome. Thank you for having me.
Our thanks today to Lonnie Varnador for letting us break down their episode.
Finally, we want to thank you for listening to the Writer's Serial Fiction Show. If you know someone who might enjoy the show, send them your favorite episode link. And if you want to leave an Apple Podcast review, we read all of them and use your suggestions. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks. We'll see you next time with another Serial Fiction Show.
And that's a wrap. Okay, now you got to say the full name, though. It's Jolkin Rolkin Rolkin Tolkien. That's what
Jolkin,
that stands
for. Jolkin Rolkin Rolkin Tolkien.
Okay.
Not going to happen.